temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer? A beach bum summer? Or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It is time for the Derek Shelton Show. The Pirates manager is on the fan hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And this segment also brought to you by your local Parmore stores. Remember, if there's not a Parmore store near you, there will be soon. Shelty, how are you today? And the big news accompanying your answer here is that you've been to Geneva on the Lake, where City Limits just spent a very relaxing 4 days drinking. Well, what were you drinking? Whiskey?
I wasn't drinking much. A little bit of wine.
A little bit of wine.
Rum and Coke.
And playing wiffle ball.
Oh, wiffle ball. Old school. I like it. Was it like a wiffle ball tournament? I have been to Geneva on the Lake, and it's a beautiful little town, but... If he went for a wiffle ball tournament, I'm super stoked.
Shelty, I run a wiffle ball league here in Pittsburgh. We're in season 5.
That is tremendous. I love that. Is it the old school wiffle ball or the which one are you going with?
So we do play in an old school league, but our league, we use black big barrel Easton Pro Stick bats and like baseball training balls. So when you hit them, they go far, about 150 feet or so.
Wow. I love that. Love that so much.
City Limits spares nothing in his wiffle ball league. He's the commissioner and everything, Shelty. But let's get to the actual baseball stuff. And last night, it seemed very clear that Paul Skenes made an adjustment after the first inning. My question is, going from, you know, attacking with fastballs to a different game plan almost, who initiates that change? Skenes himself, Grandal, you, Oscar? How does that change take place?
I think it's a combination of, you know, number one, Paul and Yaz first starting off and talking about what's working and not working, and then having a conversation with Oscar about, hey, we're going to adjust off it. You know, the one thing that's the most encouraging is that Paul has multiple weapons that he's able to go to, and, you know, to go away from a 100-mile-an-hour fastball and go to the splinker and use his curveball more and even use the changeup more, and then to be able to go back to it. But it's a combination, and I think it's one of the things that Yaz does really well is just making sure that, you know, we go with what's working that night.
When you look at Skenes, it's kind of interesting. We were talking about this earlier. He's only 6 games into his career. But when he has a night like last night where, you know, by every stretch or by every standard that we hold most pitchers to, it's like, wow, he has a really good start. But for him, it's kind of like, okay, he did okay. Are we maybe getting a little too far ahead of what the expectations should be for a guy who's in his who's going to be making his 7th major league start the next time he goes there?
Yeah, I think, I mean, we can and should get excited about him, like, and Jones both. But I think we also have to realize it's the big leagues. You know, there's things that are going to happen, and, you know, there's going to be starts where they don't have their best stuff and they get roughed up because it is the big leagues. At the end of the day, I'm glad that both these guys are both in our rotation. And, you know, can we have high expectations? Yes, but we also have to realize that, you know, it's the major leagues and people are going to make adjustments and we're going to have to adjust back. We saw Paul do that last night, which I thought was really impressive.
Shelty, he was bumped from Sunday to Monday, and there's all kinds of theories out there. The Pirates wanted the home gates. You just wanted to, you know, act proactively in terms of preserving his arm. All kinds of things out there with that. What was the reason that you didn't pitch him Sunday and went with Monday?
We gave him an extra day's rest. I mean, I think, and we've talked about this almost every week on this show, we're trying to do this as much as possible with all of our guys, not just Paul, but we've tried to give Mitch extra days. We've tried to give Falter extra days. You know, we've tried to give Jared extra days. So the fact that, you know, we thought we could run a bullpen game, like which we did in Colorado, it was giving him an extra day's rest. And we will continue to try to do this, because when we go through stretches where we have a long amount of games in a row, if we can give guys the extra day to, you know, kind of refresh, it's going to be helpful for us later in the season.
On top of that, you obviously have the bullpen games that you've done, you know, 2 and 3 days basically. And so the question is, hey, is that a model you're going to continue to use down the road here? Is it something you're going to use to try and skip starts? What are your thoughts on that going forward?
Well, I think we'll continue to look at it. I mean, you know, we had two of them basically where Ortiz was, you know, he didn't start the game, but he was the bulk pitcher in that game. And then we ran just an actual bullpen game that Fleming did a really good job in. You know, we were pretty aggressive on this last year in September of doing it. We will look for spots to do it when we have the right personnel and we have the right matchups, or, you know, if we're trying to get a starter an extra day. So could we see it again? Yeah, with the off days we have coming up, I mean, we have an off day after the Cincinnati series, and then, you know, we have another off day. We have another off day before the long stretch after the Atlanta series. So we're going to – it'll be probably be the you know, between July 2nd and the All-Star break when we start to look about doing it again.
Well, then the next question obviously becomes we were talking about with his bullpen game, you've used Ortiz a couple of times. Is it too simple to say, you know, why not just start him at this point? He's pitched very, very well in his last start, his last times out, and it looks like he can go deep, you know, give you some length. So the question becomes, how about him just as becoming a starter when you need him?
We could do that. You know, I guess I don't understand why people get caught up in if he starts the game or if he comes in the, you know, second inning or the third inning and pitches 5 innings. It really doesn't matter. As long as we're getting the best matchups as possible, you know, it really doesn't matter if he starts the game, you know, from pitch one, or if it's a situation where, you know, we have someone like we've done with Carmen over a couple starts where they pitch the first inning and third, maybe a little bit longer, so we get more favorable matchups.
I'm trying to think about that one just real time here, which might be a dangerous thing. But since Ortiz has already been a starter, couldn't you get maybe 5-6 innings out of him like a normal starter and have it not be really a bullpen? Maybe even get all the way to Holderman, Chapman, and Bednar?
Well, yeah. But if you look back, I mean, he's thrown 5 in both of those. So if we can choose the entry point that we want, then we're in an advantage. So if we can try to choose and make other managers manipulate their lineup for us to have better matchups, that's the whole purpose of the whole starter, you know, issue. So again, it doesn't matter if he, you know, if he starts the game and throws pitch one, but if we get him and maximize the most matchups we can get, we're going to be in a better spot.
Yeah, we were batting this one around the other day, and I actually came down on your side of it with this reason.
Holy cow, wait, hold on. Mark, I want someone to mark this right here. You've come down on the same side as me?
Yes. This is
okay.
This
someone
is historic.
Needs to mark this, and someone needs to text Cook and tell him this.
Yeah,
yes.
We definitely will text Cook after the well, he's probably already at the bar. We just need to call the bar.
Yeah, exactly.
The reasoning was this, and I wonder if this factors into it, is that Ortiz has struggled at times in his major league career. And he seems to be flourishing in this role, and there's a different mentality, I would imagine, being a starter as opposed to coming into a game. And for whatever reason, he seems to be flourishing here, so why change it? What do you think of all that?
I think that's a good theory. I mean, and at some point, he may start again. And we can view him as a starter because I think he has the ability to start. But it's also the thought of, like, you can take advantage of the role that a guy's flourished in. So I do think that is a good thought.
I think on the flip side of it, It looks like the bullpen that you imagined you were going to have at the start of the season, which was a little rocky here and there. You had some injury things and what with Chapman, Holderman, and Bednar. It looks like that is really coming to fruition. The one thing that's interesting is you've used Chapman a little bit more, it seems like, in the seventh inning instead of the eighth, and Holderman in the eighth. Has that been a conscious thing, or has it been a matchup thing? And obviously, I'm assuming you're really happy with where those three guys are right now.
Yeah, really happy with where they're at, you know, to go off the last point of that. And then the first point is it's going to matter the matchup. I mean, they're both, you know, holding and Chap are both leverage relievers. Like last night, we used them in the seventh. You know, they were in a situation where they had left, right, left, and they had already taken Friedel out of the game and put in another left-hander. So we were going to get four left-handers. We were going to have to make them decide how much of their bench they were going to use. We know the Reds are an aggressive pinch-hitting team. They used it at Fairchild for Benson, but we had the left-handers in that stretch, which was Chap. So if we would have had, you know, right-handers or a more conducive matchup that we needed holding, it would have been holding in the seventh. But those innings are both really important, and all three of those guys have thrown the ball really well over the last month.
This segment brought to you by Gutter Helmet. Avoid costly water damage and eliminate gutter clogs with Gutter Helmet. Visit gutterhelmet.com. Pirates manager Derek Shelton on the line. All right, the throws back to the pitcher. Nobody wants the guy to stand up and fire, you know, perfect strikes back to him, but it seems like Grandal's throws are all over the place and that the pitchers sometimes are doing fielding practice on the mound. And then we saw the steal of home with a guy standing up, and people are starting to talk about this. As a former catcher, Shelty, what do you think of Grandal's simple throws back to the pitcher? Issue or no issue?
Not an issue. Something we have. I mean, we do have to clean up because of what McMahon did the other day. He took advantage of it. I think awareness is more the factor. Unfortunately, sometimes awareness comes with a play that you wish wouldn't have happened, but now we have to have a heightened awareness on it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the thing. We've had a lot of people inquire about that. Derek, one thing that we had Destiny's Child on earlier. And
I love that so much. Any reference we can get to Destiny's Child.
Right.
Speaking of that, have we also seen that Jason Mackey's gone with the Paul Skeens mustache? Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure that gets out there.
Yeah, he put that on social media.
Does he have a mustache
He
now?
Put a picture of himself with a Skeens mustache, which, yes. He didn't put that in. See, we were confused because he didn't put that in his Mackey planner for the week. So we didn't So anyway, Destiny's Child was on, and he admitted he was derelict in his duties after the game Thursday. Why he didn't ask you? So I'm going to ask you because, you know, it's something that I've asked about for a few days. Why, you know, you had Connor, Joe, and Gonzalez and McCutcheon on the bench for that getaway game against Cardinals. But it's not so much that you came a day off. It's that in the eighth and the ninth, I thought there were some opportunities you could have used to pinch hit them. So I'm going to allow you to explain yourself because it's a question lots of people want to know.
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think, you know, obviously the starting thing has to do with a lot of different things, a lot of different factors. But the pinch hit is a good question. It's like using your bullpen at the end of the game in terms of what you think. Did I have the opportunity to hit for Grandal and Taylor? Yeah, I didn't. At that time, I didn't think it was the best situation. You know, sometimes you reflect back and look and say, like, hey, could we have done something different? Yeah, 100%. So it's one of those situations that decided not to do it. Reflection point, yeah, but in that case, I didn't do it there. No real reason, you know, no specific reason that I could give you other than I thought at the time that was the best matchups we had.
Well, I guess the one that really came to mind for me was Gonzalez because you had just had a day off on Monday, I believe, so it didn't feel like he needed a day off, and then it definitely felt like he should be hitting in the ninth inning with two guys who have pretty much done nothing but struggle all year at the plate. So
decided not to. I mean, both those guys had hits in the game. I felt like it was a better situation for those two guys than it was for Nick at the time. Now, again, reflecting back on it, you know, could I have done it differently? Yeah, but I mean, bullpen usage and pinch hitting usage is going to be the most critically. I mean, You know, you agreed with me earlier for the first time ever, Stark. So, like, I knew I was going to get one of these.
Well, how about Henry Davis that day, too? It felt finally, and I don't know if he was already having concussion issues, so maybe that was the case, but it felt like finally in his final at-bat the night before, he got a hold of one where you'd love to see him in the lineup, maybe even DH the next day if you didn't want him to catch with Keller, whatever. Why not him that next day?
No, I mean, still, he's on the IL, obviously, now, but still work to do. He did take a good swing the night before, but just didn't feel like in that situation that was the best matchup for us. Definitely not catching after night game after the day yeah. game in the heat there, but just felt we had better opportunities.
Your guy, Rowdy Tellez, obviously endured a little bit of booing and whatnot for a while, but it looks like, and Joe and I have been talking about this, it looks like the last week and a half, 2 weeks, he's really, really come on. Obviously, the numbers speak for themselves, but the question we're asking is, is this sort of what you expect from him the rest of the way?
I think he's hitting about 450 in June, so I don't expect that. But the more consistency of the at-bats is what we expected from the get-go. And, I mean, we talked about it, you know, multiple times on this show. He had a rough start. And I think the fact that he started to get going, he's starting to have better at-bats. Again, go back to the day he hit the home run, the fans getting behind him. You know, there's a little bit of pressure that comes off, a little bit of relief, and I think we're feeling that now, and we're seeing the results of it. I mean, he had a really good road trip. He had two doubles yesterday. He had three hits the day before. So we're seeing more consistent at-bats out of him, which is important because we need him to be a run producer.
Hayes, I'm sure you would like more out of as well, and we got asked this question by a couple people today when we were asking people, what would you ask Shelton if you could? The toe tap from last year, two people said that seemed to help him. What happened to that?
Specifically in terms of the mechanics, I cannot give it to you. I know, you know, Key's done different things with the leg kick, with the tap. Sometimes it's just a feel of how your body is, what your lower body's doing, what your load is. And I think, you know, we've seen him go through different iterations and hit, but sometimes it's just a feel of where he's at. So can't specifically give you an answer of, like, why he's gone away from it, but I know he's had success with it. He's had success without it. I think right now he's just trying to get a consistent feel for his timing.
One of the things that is consistent among many national guys, a lot of local guys, a lot of people, is that you guys, your team, is still maybe one or two players really away from being where you could, you know, become a serious, serious contender. And if you get to the playoffs, obviously, with your pitching, you become very dangerous. And so the question becomes, do you feel like over the next few weeks you will start to have conversations with Charrington and company about perhaps maybe adding something, you know, that you feel like you know you're still missing?
Yeah, I think Ben's always listening. You know, I mean, he's always having conversations with people about how we can improve our team. Until that point, we have to make sure that we focus on the guys we have here. But, you know, I think Ben has even said it publicly, like, he's always, you know, willing to listen. He's talking, and we're always trying to make our team better. So it's just a matter of, like, what the situations that arise in terms of, you know, who you could acquire, what you could do. But I do think we're in a situation where we are listening on that front.
Couple more minutes here with Pirates manager Derek Shelton. A couple more strategy questions, Shelty, just because, you know, half the fun here is discussing games with friends, with colleagues here, fans, whatever. Everybody wants to talk strategy and decision-making. There was one recent game, this one I can't pinpoint, where it seemed like they were giving you a run early in the game, and maybe this guy was wondering, why not just bunt in a run? But speaking of bunting, there was the Jared Jones game in Colorado where it's early in the game, no score, you have two on, nobody out, and Michael Taylor at the plate. What goes into the thinking of just having him bunt? You know, very likely you'll take a lead in the game at the very least, and you wind up letting him hit and he pops out. Why not bunt there? And why not take, and I don't know that you don't, why not take an early run if they're giving one to you?
Yeah, well, I think we have done that at times. We've done it two or three times where we bunted early in the game. The Colorado situation, that's a great question, and it's a question we talked about actually post game, talked with Michael about maybe bunting for a hit there. I think one thing in Colorado, now number one in that situation, Michael did have numbers off the starter, had good numbers. I think he was like 5 for 12, 5 for 11 off him. So it was giving him an opportunity earlier in the game. And then in Colorado, it's, I mean, I think as you saw, there's runs that can be scored quickly. And, you know, in certain, that situation wasn't playing for one, was trying to play for more than that. But I do think in those situations, we are not adverse to getting a bunt down and getting an early run.
Yeah, it's interesting, Derek. That used to be back, you know, back when I growing up and whatever, when you watch baseball, that was like a big deal was, you know, they a guy got on first, you bunted him over. I'm assuming there's some, you know, analytical study or some reason why that whole art of that has, especially early in games, kind of gone away.
Well, yeah, analytically, they should tell you, they will tell you you should never give up an out. I don't necessarily agree with that, because there have been times that we bunted. I mean, we've run the safety squeeze. So I think it all comes down to, you know, what you're feeling that day, the strategy of the game. Again, the game in Colorado, the ballpark definitely has something to do with it, because runs can, I mean, we saw the one day the way the ball just continued to fly. You know, pop-ups turn into home runs. So I think it could be based on different scenarios, but I disagree with the analytical view of that. Is I think times you have to bunt to be able to put yourself in a position to score runs, you know, and it's important to do that.
Shelty, people freak out a lot with fundamental miscues, like on the bases, and I always point out back to them that happens around baseball. Look at the Reds last night, getting two guys picked off, and then every number that I can find, and I'm sure you guys have your own, that reflect base running acumen, you guys actually are pretty good. Like, here's percentage of times a base runner comes in, you're in the top half of the league. Stolen base percentage, you're in the top six, I think. Outs on the bases, which I think is a great measurement. You guys have a lot of people on base, even if you don't score a ton. You guys are in the bottom part of the league with outs made on the bases. So I think you might actually be a better base running team than people give you credit for. Do your numbers reflect that?
Yeah, I would say I was even shocked top six on stolen base percentage. I thought we were like in the top three. I think that is. Now, we have made a couple mistakes. We made a mistake last night. We made a mistake 2 weeks ago, a week ago, running into an out at third, I think in the St. Louis series. So we do have to clean those up. But overall, I think we've done a pretty good job. We do a good job going first and third. You know, second to home, sometimes the outs on the bases can be a situation where, you know, you're trying to get aggressive with two outs and you send a guy and they get thrown out and it reflects in there. But overall, I thought we've done a better job on the bases this year.
That's twice in one show, Derek, that he's given you compliments. Just so you...
I know. I don't know what to do with this. I feel like I'm in a bizarro world right now.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying. I just wanted to point that out, that twice in one show. But tonight you got Falter on the mound. You know, last two starts has been four innings. He hasn't been able to get out. What does he need to do to sort of get back to where he was, you know, for literally a month and a half? You could have made an argument he was your best pitcher. The last two starts, not so much. What does he have to do to get back to that?
I think it's back to, number one, the ability to execute the fastball and get early outs. And, you know, his last start, he didn't get hit very hard. He kind of got soft hit to death, and then, you know, made the decision to get him out because we had the stretch of right-handers coming out. But it's basically back to early count outs with the fastball, and then execution of the breaking ball. The last two starts, the breaking ball has not been as sharp as it had been over the prior seven starts. So I think those are the two main factors.
Shelty, thanks for the time. Good luck tonight, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. See you next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Well, that was interesting, Paul. I think that there were some answers that I really appreciated. I guess the one I'm kind of stuck on, though, is he really his rationale on the lineup last Thursday, I didn't love in the getaway game. There really was no rationale.
No, there wasn't. And he said he might have screwed up. In hindsight, 2020, he might have screwed up. I mean, that's all you can ask for. Like, we asked the question, he gave his answer, and you know that, and you can have those kind of exchanges with people if you're respectful. But like I said, it's all about how you ask it and how you, you know.
It's still kind of mind-boggling, though.
It is
at the time. Like, why would you need to have to go back after the game and say, "Gee, I should have pinch hit for Michael Taylor with my best hitter."
But again, in his defense, in the throes of it, maybe he kind of felt like, you know, one of those guys. I don't know. I can't even rationalize it. I mean, it's different sitting here than in the dugout. But I have to believe that at least crossed his mind. I've got three of my best hitters sitting over here.
It's still mind boggling. You know? And I don't know. You know, the answer, he gave his answer. We followed up, and I still am, and I'm still just befuddled, I guess is the word, as to how that could have happened. And then I look at the standings, and the Cardinals are right ahead of them. It's just, it's sort of a haunting loss because you didn't put your best out there, even for an at-bat. All right. But the other stuff, like the question about Michael Taylor not bunting the other day, well, he had great numbers against that pitcher. All right. Then you give him a chance to hit away. I still would have bunted and gotten the early lead with Jared Jones. It looked to me early in that game like he had great stuff, and then it all fell apart. There was no way to know that was going to happen. I like getting a lead in any sport at any time, because the history of sports says if you get a lead, you have a decent percentage to win the game. Really good percentage chance to win the game. Lots can happen, I get it, especially in Colorado.
But they say
that team stinks, and they didn't score two out of the three games against the Pirates' bullpen. Right?
Well, again, I just think that it's important, you know, go back to the fact that, well, analytically speaking, and I like that Derek Shelton said he doesn't necessarily agree with it all the time.
Yeah.
Analytically speaking, they say that you have a better chance of scoring more runs with a guy on first and no outs than a guy on second with one out.
Yeah.
I think is that how that goes?
Right.
So, okay. But to me, like, for instance, if you're the team that is coming up to bat in the bottom of the 10th, if the game's still tied and they give you a guy on second, I understand the rationale. If you get a hit, he's likely to score anyway. But if you have one of your bad hitters up to start the inning, why not bunt him over?
Yeah.
At least make it a productive out.
Yeah, again, I love getting the lead in that situation.
Well, I mean, if you get the lead, you win. If you get the lead, you win. You only
are you talking bottom of the inning?
Bottom of the 10th.
Bottom, okay, yeah.
Now, top of the 10th, I understand the rationale, but again, if I have a bad hitter up, and believe me, well, I told you this the other day, I watch baseball all the time, I watch games all the time. I can't believe how bad some of these lineups are with some of these hitters. I mean, some of these batting averages and OPSs, I can't even believe that this is real. Teams have four or five of these guys in their lineup. If I have a guy who's bad, you know, if he's one of my 160 hitters, you know, with a 500 OPS, guess what? I'm bunting him. I'm bunting him every time. I don't know why more teams don't do that.
I would. That would be my strategy in extra innings, in that 10th inning especially, is just to either get the lead or just go for the win via that route. Coming up, we have Michael McHenry at the top of the hour. But up next, a little Steeler talk. There's this Brandon Ayuk situation keeps evolving here to the point where he's telling his buddy Jaden Daniels they don't want me, to the point where people that I really respect in NFL media circles, like Daniel Jeremiah, you know, casting doubt on whether this guy's going to be on the Niners and saying the Steelers would be the perfect fit. There was a lot of noise around the Steelers and a 49ers receiver, either Samuel or Ayuk, around the draft, where they cleared out cap space right before that by restructuring Alex Highsmith. All of this, I mean, it seems clear to me that Steelers are still in the market for a guy, and it seems clear that Ayuk and the 49ers is hardly a done deal. So let's talk about that coming up next. Paul, you have a new Flo Reid coming up momentarily here. And then we have Michael McHenry. And I'll ask him some of the same questions that we just asked Shelty. And him and Stephen Brault are great in breaking down these games the way they did with Skeen's start last night and, you know, the different areas of his arsenal that he tapped into to make that a winning performance, all that. So there's a lot ahead here on what is being called the Joe Starkey Show with Paul Zeiss, even if Adam Crowley won't acknowledge Zeiss. But he finally did, Paul?
Yes, he did.
Which is why you said hello to him today?
Which is why I said hello to him.
Did he say hello back?
Yes.
Does he wear West Virginia stuff every single day, it seems? Does he?
He wears a hat at least, usually.
Today it was a shirt.
Yeah.
Just about. Maybe 4 out of 5 days.
Underwear and socks, too, from West Virginia?
I can't confirm.
Thank you, City Limits.
Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer? A beach bum summer? Or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first 3 orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Love is a burning thing. And it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire.
City Limits fell into a ring of fire. What do you think of Shelty also going to Geneva on the Lake Limits?
Honestly, kind of surprised by that, but glad to hear it. There was a texter that also texted in that said that I was going to save it for Text in the City. I'll say it now, though. He saw me on the beach.
What?
Yes, he saw me on the beach. Let me find it.
I thought you'd be hiding behind a telephone pole. You only weigh 140 pounds. How did he even spot you?
Why would I be hiding? Adam from Green Tree, he's listening right now on the Odyssey app. He said he saw me and my friends on the beach playing volleyball.
Really?
And I asked him, why didn't you say hello?
What did he say?
He didn't want to bother me and my off time with my friends.
Limits has become a celebrity. He's
how about
he's
that?
Going
they don't
unbothered.
Want to bother you.
Next thing you
Wait,
know,
how
you'll
about
have
that?
People I heard, asking for an autograph.
I heard something you'll enjoy, Joe.
What?
Did you know that Smokey Robinson, you know how he lives here part-time? He lives here. He's got a house here and somewhere else. Do you know that?
No. I didn't know he lives here.
Yeah.
Where?
I forget. I think I don't want to say because, you know.
Yeah.
I don't, but I forget. I do forget, but I kind of know. You lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Anyway.
I was taken off guard by that.
Yeah. He lives here, you know, he lives here, and then he also has a place somewhere else. But he is an avid golfer, and there's a certain course, which I won't mention, that he likes to play a lot. I won't mention it because, you know, the reason he likes to play it, it's a public course. The reason he likes to play it is because he goes there and nobody bothers him. Like, he can go there. It's not like, you know what I mean, where...
Are you going to play with him? That's the question.
No,
am
probably
I?
Not.
Why
but I'm
not?
Just, I don't know him like
Who
that.
Who does he play with? Does he show up on his own? Or
no,
in a
he apparently has a group that he plays with, but I'm just saying, it just was kind of interesting. Someone told me that. I said, well, I never realized that Smokey Robinson was a golfer.
Wow.
And so he, I looked it up, just to be clear, and... He's 84 years old.
That's amazing. I hope I'm golfing.
And he
at that
still
age.
Goes out and he hits him around. And like I said, you know, it was one of those things where it was like, well, he likes a certain course because, like, if he were to go to a country club,
yeah,
everyone would know him all the time, you know, and he would be there and he would be getting bothered and stuff, and he really just enjoys playing golf.
I hope I run into him.
Yes, me too.
Shelty, we asked him about the toe tap with Key Brian Hayes, and his answer was a little bit odd, wasn't it? He said, well, he's tried that and it's worked. He's gone no toe tapping it. Yeah, but when he caught fire last year, didn't it seem to coincide with the toe tap limits?
I mean, there's no doubt about it. His second half of the year was basically what he was in 2020, which is what people thought the Pirates were going to get moving forward. And I mean, now he's just not hitting the ball as hard as
it's
he was
horrible.
With the toe tap.
If he got really hot along with Telez right now, then we'd really be talking, but it's not happening. He had the little dribbler for an RBI yesterday, but that's a timing mechanism. When Bautista went to Toronto and turned in, you know, he went from being Jose Bautista to Mickey Mantle and hitting 50 homers, it was all because of a timing mechanism that he used. At least that's what he said. It just seems odd that Hayes wouldn't still be using that, doesn't it, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, again, I know that guys go through different evolutions of their swing and whatever, but to me, if something is working, or like you said, is a timing mechanism, or something is helping somebody, hit or break out of a slump or whatever, yeah, why wouldn't you go back to that? Or go, you know what I mean? Go with that.
It just seems odd. All right, the Brandon Ayuk situation, taking turns here. And taking turns maybe for the better is what I mean for if you want the Steelers to get him. It seems clear, A, that the Steelers are still in the market for a receiver, or certainly should be, given the cast on hand. B, it seems very clear that things aren't going well with Ayuk and the 49ers. I mean, San Francisco drafted a guy. They signed one of their own guys. They have Samuel. Is it possible, maybe even still probable, that they'll go with the cast they have for this season and then make decisions afterward? Sure. But then you hear that Ayuk, you know, in a post that I guess he wanted out there, because I think, what was it, his girlfriend that put it out there, where he's talking to Jaden Daniels?
It was on his TikTok account.
Yeah, on FaceTime or whatever, and telling him they don't want me. They don't want to do this. They don't want me. And then we hear from people like Daniel Jeremiah, Jeremy Fowler, people like that, saying this is the negotiations between Ayuk and the 49ers not going well. Who are we going to hear from here?
First is Jeremy Fowler.
Yes, Ayuk and the 49ers have negotiated, but things have stalled a bit, which is somewhat common for this time of year. They're going to see what happens over the next 6 weeks. Leading into training camp, the 49ers want Ayuk long-term in the fold. But so far, they have not been willing to show that they're going to meet the market of wide receiver, which we're seeing these massive numbers. Amon-Ra St. Brown in Detroit, $30 million. Justin Jefferson well above that. Ayuk believes he's a top guy, and so something's got to give. And so he's worked himself into a top 10 receiver conversation. We'll see. Not a lot of momentum there right now. Not a lot of optimism.
Well, yeah, he wants top receiver money. They don't want to pay it. So I'm not sure how that bridge gets crossed. You want this?
It
we don't want to give it
doesn't.
To you. I don't think it does either. And that doesn't mean that he won't still play there this year, but he also could be problematic in camp and at the beginning of the year. Who else are we going to hear from?
Well, Omar Khan, when he was on with Pony and Mueller on Thursday, spoke about how Alex Highsmith, when they restructured his deal, there was the potential that maybe something was going to be in the works sooner than they imagined. It didn't happen, but this is what Khan said.
It gave us an opportunity to just kind of be in position in case there's an opportunity to upgrade, just to be honest, just to be in a position to do something. There's an opportunity to upgrade the club that's worth us looking at and doing something with. You know, we wanted to be in position to do so if that came about. Obviously, it did not come about, but, you know, just wanted to be prepared. Sometimes these things just happen so quick, and yep. The last thing you want to do is say, I can't. I just don't have the cap room to do it. You know, so you just want to be in a position to be ready in case that opportunity does come about.
That's an interesting answer. Obviously, they want to do something, and whether it was imminent or not, he wanted to put himself in position where a team like the Niners calls and says, hey, we're going to move on. What do you got? And you say, I don't have anything because we don't have the cap room.
Yeah.
I think the Steelers are absolutely still in the market for a receiver.
Do you think they're in the market, though, for a guy that is going to cost that much?
Well, they're not paying a quarterback yet. They're not paying a running back, and they're not paying a receiver. They have tons of cap space. So, and that could change, you know, in a year or two, whatever.
But the question then becomes...
But I think yes. I mean, how does Philly afford Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts? You know, if you want to, you can.
You're right. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if you want to, you can. My question is, will they? And their thought process probably is a little bit like, well, next year we might have to pay a quarterback.
Maybe, although I would still argue not top quarterback dollar.
Right.
I don't think. But you're right. I think the bigger question, Paul, yes. Will they? Yes, they would. But the bigger question is, will they part with a first-round pick to get it done? And that I'm not sure about. I think they're probably thinking, we'll give you something decent, but we're also taking on the salary here, the future salary, presuming we sign him. Would you give up first-round pick and pay him?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I probably would. But I don't know. Again, the market is now, what, 30?
Right around there.
30, 35, 32 million, something like that. It's a lot of money. You know, that's a lot of money. For real.
The question is, how many years would you be committed to also? I mean, what is he, 26? You'd have the potential of an unbelievable 1-2 punch at the receiver position. Also potential for a lot of problems. You know, if the Arthur Smith offense doesn't keep people satisfied in that kind of passing game. And I think there's some severe questions about whether that would happen. But you can't worry about that. I would do it. I'd be very reluctant to part with the first round pick. But in the end, if that's what it took to get it done, I think I would. And you just, kind of like with Minka, the Steelers' first round pick in 2025 is Brandon Ayuk, that type of thing. That's your pick, right? But you got to pay him. Well, it's a lot. It's a huge commitment deal.
Are you more interested in the Courtland Sutton still?
I wouldn't mind Courtland Sutton either.
I mean, because that seems like it's going to be come at a lower price.
Yeah, if it is, I'd be fine with that. I'd be fine with that. He's got the built-in rapport with Russell Wilson. I'd be okay with that. But bottom line is, I have to believe they're absolutely still in the market. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township. Celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Back to a lot of Pirate talk here with Michael McHenry. I want to ask him about Paul Skeens, Rowdy Tellez, about Jared Jones. He's great. Him and Stephen Brault, just a great show, the way they break things down. So we'll have Michael McHenry next. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, 24 Silverado LT Crew Cab, up to $7,500 in rebates. Full terms and qualifications at sunchevy.com. High of 94 today with sunny skies as we head for a gigantic 1 o'clock hour. Why Ayuk, I see, is trending here. Is there more news today? City limits?
I haven't seen it yet, but I'll get on the case now.
Well, Paul, quickly, what do we make of him wanting this out on his TikTok, of him being filmed talking to Jaden Daniels saying, they say they don't want me back? Just negotiating?
Yeah, I don't know. Again, I think what's very interesting about these days is now these athletes and celebrities and everybody else, they can say things and do things unfiltered and can move the needle, you know what I mean, by posting stuff like that. So I think it's very clear that Ayuk wants paid, and he doesn't think the 49ers are going to pay him. So he's either going to force their hand and make them trade him or pay him, one or the other.
I guess my thought is, you got to pay somebody, why not him? And then worry about the other stuff later on. Maybe that's another reason, even though it's not a huge amount of money, they didn't want to make a long-term financial commitment to Najee Harris. You know? They have zero commitment. They're one of the few teams in the AFC that fancies themselves a contender anyway, who's not paying huge money to a quarterback. They should be using that to their advantage in situations like this. All right, Michael McHenry next. First, let's talk about baseball, the NBA finals are done now. And, man, Boston just went crazy in the final game. And the Mavericks were just awful. Kyrie Irving had a terrible series. I thought he was going to be great in the series. That goes to show sometimes things don't work out. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.